Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Sunday, everyone. I'm Donna Paige Riley, also known as the Etiquette Lady, and welcome to What is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show version. It is a beautiful day here in Atlanta, and I hope that it's the same for you wherever you're listening. Now, on today's show, we're holding an open forum and discussing whatever you want to talk about surrounding etiquette. Now, you may call us at area code 347-324-3295, 347-324-3295, or send us an email at info@pagesetiquette.com. Once again, that's info@pagesetiquette, PAIGESETIQUETTE.com. Now, the purpose of this show is to make the world a polite place to live, one person at a time. Now, again, I'm Donna Paige Riley. I'm the owner of Paige's Etiquette Seminars, which is a company specializing in both personal and professional development training, where we offer exciting sessions for all ages. And I'm also the author of What is Etiquette Anyway?, a book about manners for children, but grown-ups can read it too, as well as What is Executive Etiquette Anyway? Key ingredients for building successful working relationships. And these books, as well as other motivational materials, are available directly from the website at www.pagesetiquette.com. www.pagesetiquette.com. Well, for the new listeners, I always want to take just a brief moment to talk about the origin of etiquette. What is etiquette? Where does it come from? Well, etiquette is simply a set of rules of behavior. And by using these rules, people make living with each other more pleasant and comfortable. The word etiquette itself comes from an old French word meaning ticket. It later came to mean a prescribed routine, especially of court behavior. Now, Charles I and II of England copied the rules of etiquette from the French court, and these rules became requirements of behavior everywhere. So that's where the word etiquette comes from. And to make sure that you remember how to pronounce the word correctly, pronouncing the Q as a K, if you say the word slowly, you hear yourself say ticket, etiquette. And that's just simply because it comes from a French word that means ticket. So never will you again, after this evening, mispronounce the word etiquette and call it etiquette. Now, how about that? Well, I want to say hello to my co-host, the Etiquette Lady, Denise.
Good evening, Donna. How are you?
I am well. And yourself?
I am doing very well. Thank you.
Oh, great. Well, I am so excited, always excited to have an open forum because then we know that we're covering and we're talking about exactly what it is our listeners want to talk about. And, of course, that's certainly what we want to do. And it looks like our switchboard is pretty much lit up. So we're going to go ahead and go to the first caller here again, open forum. Thanks for calling What is Etiquette Anyway? Hello.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
I am well, and yourself?
I'm doing well.
Great. Well, we're talking about an open forum this evening, whatever it is you'd like to talk about. What would you like to talk about?
Okay. Well, one of my friends is getting married shortly.
Mm-hmm.
And I was curious about a couple things. If the wedding invitation specifies that I can bring a guest, would it be proper if I call and ask if I could bring my child too? Or should I not do that?
Absolutely. It's always best to call just to make sure instead of just to show up with them, which is done quite often. So absolutely, just call just to make sure. And, you know, if she says yes, that's great. If she says no, then that's okay, too. You'll know you'll need to secure a sitter. But that's an excellent question. A lot of times, you know, people will see that. They say, well, you can bring a guest. And they think a guest is some guest, which is usually more than one.
Right. And I also have a question. If the invitation says not to bring a gift, should I still bring a gift, or should I not bring a gift? Would it embarrass other giftless guests? Like, how would I, should I just listen to what it says, or would it be rude to not bring anything at all?
Well, actually, if they have specifically, you know, please do not bring a gift, you might, if you have any type of question about that, you might want to call them and say, well, do you not want me to bring the gift to the actual, you know, where the site where the wedding takes place, or should I bring it to the site of the reception? And so always know that you can always call, and it's better to always call for clarification purposes.
Okay. And one more question. I'm sorry.
No, sorry.
But I've been invited to this wedding, but I'm not sure if I can go or not as of yet. Mm-hmm. Should I still send a wedding gift if I don't show up?
You may do that. You may do that. And you certainly want to make sure that you are SVP and let them know. And a lot of times people think that they only are SVP if they are not going. But you are SVP, which is respondez, s'il vous plaît, French meaning please respond, to tell them whether you are coming or not.
Okay.
So absolutely. You know, go ahead and give them a call, even if you cannot come, and RSVP. That is so important, and that a lot of times people just don't realize that. And some people think, oh, well, they know me. They know I'm coming. Well, you know, they generally want you to RSVP so they can know how many to prepare for.
Right.
And, so that's very interesting. I remember I wrote a column one year. Denise, you might remember this. And we were talking about RSVP, and speaking with some people, you know, had the nerve to complain and say, oh, I can't believe these people ran out of food and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, well, did you RSVP? Oh, no, they knew I was coming. And no, they didn't. You know, they didn't prepare. So that is the main reason for having people to RSVP, so
yes,
that they can prepare.
Mm-hmm.
They know exactly how many to prepare for or not to prepare for. But those are excellent, very excellent questions. And, you know, it shows that you are certainly, you know, in line with etiquette, just trying to make sure, you know, because oftentimes if people don't know, they generally do the wrong thing. So do know, and, you know, all of you out there, and always, if you have any questions, please feel free to call them and just don't simply assume. But I thank you so much for your call. By the way, what is your name?
Andrea,
well, thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
And we certainly welcome your call anytime, and feel free to give us a call back on our next show as well.
Very well.
Okay, great. And I don't know if you want to stay on with us or not, because you're welcome
yes.
to. Okay, you're welcome to do that. And I will, Denise, let's bring on another caller, okay?
Okay, that sounds great.
Hello, caller, can you hear me?
Hello?
Hello, hi there. Thanks for calling What is Etiquette Anyway. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I am well. And what is your name? And
I'm Hattie.
Hi, Hattie. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Great. And what would you like to
and
talk about?
And hello, Denise. I'm sorry.
Hi, Hattie. How are you doing?
Fine. Thank you.
Good.
And
tell us what your
pet
peeve or whatever
yes,
it is.
Yes,
today.
I want to go back to pet peeves. That's my favorite.
I've
called in before, and I shared
mm-hmm.
two of my pet peeves with you guys. And that first one was people throwing things out of the window of the car, you know, like trash and stuff like that.
Right.
I really, that just gets on my nerves so bad. And also leaving cabinet doors open and, like, or just overhead drawers or filing cabinets or two, you know, doors or anything like that. Just bothers me a lot. I think you should just close them if you know you're done with them.
Right.
So my
right.
third pet peeve is gum popping.
Mm.
Oh my goodness. Gum popping, I mean, it's like, especially when you're in a quiet place like church or a
mm-hmm.
meeting, and there's mm-hmm. someone in the back, way back, where you can't really get eye contact with them to tell them, you know, to give them that look to like, will you please stop popping that gum? You can hear, but you can't really tell exactly where it's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness, it gets on my nerves so bad. And I'm thinking, why don't they know? You know, people are not saying anything because they can't. Or you don't know really quite how to say it without people going off on you. You know, so.
That's true. And you know, and I wonder, too, oftentimes, have they perfected the gum popping to a degree where they don't even realize that that's what they're doing? You know,
I think sometimes they do, I think sometimes it's a nervous habit.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes they just do it and they don't really care that it bothers people.
Mm-hmm.
I think because I tell my daughter, I was just telling her earlier, I pop gum in the privacy of my own space.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I'm around others, I won't do it because I know
mm-hmm.
it gets on my nerve when I hear. So I'm conscious to know that possibly it may be getting on someone else's nerve, so I won't do it. But if I'm in my car, my room, chewing gum, I will pop gum.
Mm-hmm.
But I turned around one time in line with this lady. She was in back of me, really close, and she was popping her gum, pop, pop, pop. And I just turned around and looked at her, and I didn't have to say a word. She said, oh, ma'am, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize I was so loud popping my gum. I apologize. And I said, no problem. But she knew exactly what I looked around for. So,
she knew exactly what was going on at
yeah.
that point anyway.
Yeah, she knew, but she just, like you said, maybe Donald was saying, maybe they don't realize
mm-hmm.
that they're doing it sometimes until someone brings it to their attention. And then he's like, oh, yeah, I really am popping it loud.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, of course, being the etiquette lady, I don't think it's very proper to pop and crack gum, especially for a young lady. The popping and cracking and, you know, the mouth all wide open and blowing big bubbles. And,
right.
you know, I just don't think that's really ladylike looking. But, I mean, who knows? Years ago when I used to chew gum, I never could pop it. So I'm thinking, you know, what's the big deal here of chewing the gum? So it could be, you know, maybe I just couldn't, you know, get the technique down or something. But
it's a problem for this lady at the gym with me not long ago. She was telling that this one girl was popping her gum so badly in the front of the class that it threw her off from her workout. She was like,
yeah.
I couldn't even get into my workout because she was doing that.
Yeah.
So she didn't get to have the nerve to talk to her about it. I didn't either. So she looked like somebody who may not take it very well, but so I just try and dodge her when I see her, you know, where she get in place at the gym. I just try and go in another direction. So
mm-hmm. That was breaking. Sounds like it was breaking her concentration.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
What that was, yes. And I don't know. Maybe we should discuss some, you know, polite ways to tell somebody that their popping of their gum and cracking their gum is getting on your nerves. So maybe we need to kind of talk about that. What is the proper way to tell somebody that they are popping and cracking gum in your ear and it is really, really irritating you? Denise, you want to take that or you want me to take it?
Oh, especially if it's somebody you don't know. Well, the people I know, it's like, what is up with you? What's with that gum?
Mm-hmm.
But for the people you don't know, you have to really just take your time, approach them, and just tell them, you know, be very nice about it. Of course, your voice and the way you say things to a person sometimes will diffuse whatever's going on. So I do believe that you have to be nice and very calm and just tell them how it is affecting you. I think approaching the person and saying, hi, I'm Denise. I know that you're enjoying your gum today. Right now, you know, I'm trying to read right here, and I have a report, whatever's going on. and it's really breaking my concentration. If you don't mind, and maybe Donna, you can add something because
sure.
I think you're a little bit more tactful than I am when it comes to things like that.
But that was great. That was great, and you did allude to the fact that it's not necessarily what you say, but it is how you say it.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was very good. And starting out by letting them know that they may not, you may not realize it,
mm-hmm.
but you are really popping and cracking that gum a little loud. Wow. I wish I could do that, but I never learned the technique. I need to share that with them. But I'm really trying to concentrate, and if you don't mind, can you just be a little more conscious of it? And usually, the response will be, it'll usually be, oh, I didn't realize it. Oh, I am really
mm-hmm.
sorry. I am really sorry.
Oh, but, I can hear myself if I start to pop.
Yes. Yourself.
So, and depending on where I am, I'm like, okay, I got to take this gum out.
Yes, mm-hmm. exactly.
Mm-hmm.
If you know you can't control it or you know you're going to somehow, get you get too good to you, you can say, okay, let me just take this out because I'm not going to be able to control this.
Because mm-hmm.
others are sitting by you and you just may be bothering them.
Right. Yeah, because we always have to be, part of having good etiquette is being considerate. Of others.
Mm-hmm.
That is very, very important.
Yes.
If I'm going to just kind of go, we've got a few emails. I'm going to try to get to this one here. And it says, what's the best age to teach your children manners? And this comes from Maddie Brooks in Chicago. Well, the trick to teaching good manners at home is to basically start when your children are young. Now, just for an example, after a child's play date, you want to show her, how to be gracious by helping her wave goodbye when she's old enough to talk. Then you start teaching her how to say goodbye, thank you for coming, and you want to make sure that you explain to your children or to that child that hearing things like this makes people feel good, and she'll start to understand that, it's really polite. And making sure that you reward your child's polite behavior by telling, her what a nice host she's been, that's very important. And remembering that your compliments and expressions of appreciation, will pretty much reinforce your child's good manners until they become automatic. And even things such as magic words, like please and thank you,
mm-hmm.
Should be reinforced on a daily basis. And if your child wants something, you want to make sure that you insist that he or she says, may I or please, etc. And, of course, when you give them, the items that they're requesting, you want to insist that, she says thank you. And if she forgets to say thank you can nice and politely take it back from her and then ask her now, what is the magic word? And then generally that will trigger in her memory for her to say, oh, thank you. So that's a really good question, the best age to teach your children's manners. I will always say as soon as possible, as soon as they begin to understand and comprehend and can talk. And thank you so much for that question, Maddie. I hope that certainly does help you.
Also, Donna, mm-hmm. with that said, I know you're talking about it, but in your book,
mm-hmm.
What is Etiquette Anyway for Children?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that would be a good guide for parents who want to teach children etiquette, and you have posters with affirmations on it. And so that would be a good guide for them to have as they grow up.
Mm-hmm.
And,
great, yeah.
Early on and throughout their young growing lives, so I think
yes.
that would be.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for mentioning that. And some of the other chapters that are in that book kind of talk about common courtesies, table manners, posture and poise, and it's a great hands-on book for, children ages 4 and up, and they don't
mm-hmm.
even need to have to be able to read yet because it's illustrated you know, whereas the child can actually sit down with the book and get a comprehension of, you know, the etiquette skills that are being taught. So, yes, by all means, and again, that book and all the other resources and posters and things are available on the website at www.pagesetiquette.com. Let's see if we can bring another caller on. Hello, caller, can you hear me? Hello? Caller, can you hear me? Okay. All right. We'll go back to the other caller, and I had a caller just hung up. Thank you all for your patience, callers, and I apologize for the wait. And let me go ahead, you guys, let's see if we can pull on. Well, actually, I've just gotten another email as well. And this looks like this is for you, HR lady. It says, HR lady, I have been applying for jobs and sometimes get a response from prospective employers and sometimes not. What's the protocol for prospective employers getting back to the candidate? Jeff from Seattle, Washington.
Actually, most employers don't always send out a letter or an email or even make a phone call. So I would suggest that you call and inquire. If you have a name, hopefully you did get a name or card or a phone number for the particular job that you're applying and call the point person, either the HR person or the person who interviewed you, to see where that where everything stands at that point. But I think that if you follow up and make sure during the interview that you get a card and a name, that would be proper for you to call and find out where you stand in the interview process.
Mm-hmm. So always feel free to do something. And just to add on to that, at the end of the interview, it's okay to ask that prospective employer, when would be a good time for me to follow up with you?
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes they will say, well, you know, in about 5 days or next week, or if you haven't heard from us by, 7 to 10 days, feel free. But, you know, as Denise was saying, always feel free to call and follow up and just to let them know you're still interested. And let me also say this as well. Make sure that you send out a thank you note after the interview. That's always that's very good too. That can kind of, you know, take that application and push it a little further up the
mm-hmm.
ranking by making sure that you do send a thank you card back. And that is also, that's covered in my What is Executive Etiquette
mm-hmm.
Book. It's it's the keys to building successful working relationships, and it talks about there's a whole chapter on interviewing skills,
mm-hmm.
and I think it even has a sample letter on a thank you note, so that's a very important. Things covered: business over lunch, networking, executive dress, casual Fridays, and those are several things that are also covered in the book, and of course this makes a great professional development gift to yourself. So that will be great. Let's see. We can pull in another caller. Hello, caller. Can you hear me? Hello? Okay. I'm not sure what's going on. We're showing calls on the switchboard. Going back to the email here, here is another one. It says, Etiquette Lady, what's the proper way to tell someone to stop calling you? You ignore their calls, but they obviously don't get the message. And this comes from Deb from Atlanta. Wow. Well, actually, I've been kind of having that problem. And sometimes, I think you mentioned in there that you said you ignore their calls. And I think most of the time, if you ignore somebody, then that's usually a message that, okay, they're not calling me back. They probably don't want to be bothered. Maybe. And evidently it's a big maybe, because as she's saying on here, that obviously they don't get the message. So first of all, you have to be clear with what your message is. So sounds like you may have to go to the next step and talk to this person, answer that call, and just, you know, politely let them know that you would either prefer not to talk with them. That sounds, you know, a little better than can you please lose my number? But, you know, because that could be step three.
Right. You know,
you may not have a choice but to go to that point. But oftentimes, you know, our messages that we give are not necessarily the same message that they're receiving.
Right.
If it's indirect like that. So I don't know, Denise, if you want to add anything to that or not.
Well, just wanting to add, when you do speak with the person, to be very specific and let them know that you no longer want to talk with them or speak with them or deal with them. I think that is one of the best ways to handle that.
Mm-hmm.
Again, like you said, there may be a third step, and at that point you've done everything that you can do to have them stop. So I think ignoring from that point on would probably do it, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, so hopefully that will, Deb, that will answer your question, and try, you know, the suggestions that we just made to you, and call us back and let us know how that goes, or email us, or, you know, whatever you would prefer to do, and just kind of let us know, you know, what happens with that. Let's see. Here's another email. We don't have, we're actually running out of time, but let me try and go ahead and address this one. It says, Etiquette Lady, when going on a date, should the guy always pay? What if he doesn't have enough money? Gary Knox from Doraville, Georgia. Well, generally the person that extends the invitation should pay. This is just kind of the basic rule when you are inviting someone out for a meal. Now, if it's questionable, you want to discuss it before going, and certainly before, you know, you actually order, you know, you place mm-hmm. your order for the meal and not knowing who's going to pay for what. Now, when going on a date, even if you were invited, you want to make sure that you don't order or spend more money on the meal than what you can actually pay for yourself. And I talk about this a lot during prom season with dating etiquette with teenagers. Always tell the girl, always be prepared just in case the young man runs out of money or doesn't have enough money. Or, you know, you may find yourself, you and your date, you know, may find yourself back in the kitchen, you know, trying to, you know, wash some dishes and things of that nature in order to work off your debt. So
mm-hmm.
that is always important. Just, I would always say be prepared. But the general rule of thumb is simply to make sure that whoever extends that particular invitation is the person who is supposed to supposed to pay. So you guys remember that when you are you're inviting someone out for a meal. Well, wow, they say time flies when you're really having fun.
Having
and
fun.
We are out of time. I thank you all for calling us again. Let me remind you to always just feel good about yourself, be considerate of others, and be the best that you can be. And I'm going to challenge you all to do something. I'm going to challenge each and every one of you this week to perform a random act of kindness. Perform a random act of kindness. And that's just going out of your way to do something nice for someone. And I bet if you do that, if you start practicing, you know, doing that at least once a week, I bet you'll be able to build up to doing something once a day, you know, just something random, holding the door open for someone, you know, extending just an extra common courtesy. Because here again, you know, we're trying to make the world a polite place to live. So, and remember also that the first rule of etiquette is the golden rule, which is do unto others as you would have them do unto you, or treat others the way you want to be treated. And most of you probably learned that in Sunday school. And it still certainly does and should apply today. So always remember to treat others the way you want to be treated. And you can find that in Matthew 7:12. Well, thanks again, everyone, for joining us. Please join us next Sunday at 7:30 p.m. Take care. Have a great evening, and God bless.
Good night.